Blue Wire.
Curry, they'll give you three. No, rebound. Maurice Spates.
Good night, Oakland. It's over.
Catch, corner, shoot, fire.
Take that, Chicago. Coming back to you. Tied to a piece. Unbelievable.
Here comes Victor Oladipo. Got the angle. Gets his eyes. Scored by LeBron James. He decompressed it with 3 seconds left.
Going to work. Fires leaning.
Hey guys, the Cavaliers family lost one of its most tenured and beloved members on Monday night, Fred McLeod. The team's play-by-play announcer since 2006 passed away unexpectedly.
The best local announcers forge a connection with their fan bases, and Fred McLeod was no exception.
With that connection in mind, we thought it the best way for the Chase Down to honor Fred's legacy was to ask members of the media, and of course, Cavs Twitter, to weigh in on what Fred meant to them.
This is David Zavak of Fear the Sword. I think the best compliment you could make for Fred McLeod is that he helped develop my love of the game because I enjoyed listening to him when I watched Cavs games and NBA games in general. I'm from Toledo, so I grew up watching Pistons games. So I really listened to him for my entire life in terms of watching the NBA. I think what I'll remember most is his enthusiasm for the players on the Cavaliers, whether it was LeBron James or younger and up and coming players, and he towed the line in terms of he wasn't an over the top fan, but you knew he was passionate and he cared about the players, and you could hear it sometimes when they did things that he didn't like, and it was never he was almost lamenting either a bad shot or a blown defensive play. He was as bummed as the fan, might be, but he did it because he got to know and he cared the players on the court, whether it was Colin Sexton or Kyrie Irving as a young player as well, or LeBron James as a young player. So he will absolutely be missed, and the next person has big shoes to fill in terms of inspiring people to love the NBA.
Hey, it's Sports Nom, Jeff Nomina. I think one of the hardest parts of the loss of Fred McLeod is just how foundational or fundamental he was to the Cavs experience for the last couple of years. I don't know that I ever fully appreciated just how good he was individually, because it just kind of felt like part of the package. It was kind of just like hard to imagine the experience of the Cavaliers without Fred being there. And I think that's going to be maybe one of the hardest parts is the first time the Cavs go on a run and somebody hits a transition three and he's not there to yell the bottom. It's just going to feel so different. And I think as Cavs fans, we've certainly been used to a lot of change and a lot of upheaval and a lot of things, no matter how dear and how much we love them over the last 10 years here or so, disappearing pretty quickly on us. But clearly this is on a whole different level, and it just feels more fundamental to the team than any player or jersey or team or anything else that's come and gone over that time span. This just feels like family, like part of the entire experience of being a Cavs fan is a little bit different today than it was the day before. And I don't know, I'm almost scared of that first game. I'm almost spooked out at how hard it's going to be to hear somebody else do it and how much it's going to feel like we're not getting to experience it with somebody who's been a friend for a while. So it's going to be hard. But I guess we can just appreciate having him as long as we did and as much fun as we did with him. And having that clip of him calling the 2016 is going to get us through a lot of long Cavs games this year. Just being able to relive that with him.
Hey guys, Carter here. Fred McLeod was my Cavaliers experience. In an internet era where the best local announcers are judged on their perceived distance from their source material, Fred spoke my language. Fred was clearly just as in love with the Cavaliers as I was. He reveled in their successes and stewed during the worst times. Just as importantly, he was never too good for the job. Fred had the opportunity to call games for the best teams in franchise history. He also had the opportunity to call games for teams that lost 26 games in a row. If I pulled audio from Cavs wins in 2016 or 2019 or 2011, you'd never be able to tell the difference. Fred's enthusiasm was pure, and he helped fans like me or you get through the dog days of every season. Ultimately, I don't know what the Cavs are without Fred McLeod. It's hard to fathom Darius Garland hitting a step back three without an accompanying resounding "the bottom!" or an opposing player bricking a layup that's immediately derided as throwing up a Madison ball. In the end, I'm just grateful for the time that we all got to have with Fred. We're all going to miss him and obviously send condolences to his family. He's been a part of our lives for over a decade. I'm just going to miss him.
Spencer Davies, Basketball Insiders. Fred McLeod was the voice of the Cavs when I was in high school. I know a lot of people were kind of taken aback by it because Michael Ray guy had started with LeBron James and his rookie year and stuff like that. But as soon as he came in, you could just hear his enthusiasm and passion through those broadcasts. And it really came across as genuine and just having fun. I think that's pretty much how you could sum up the way that Fred McLeod did his work. It was all about passion and fun. I'll say this. I've been working at Fox Sports Ohio behind the scenes in the digital team for about 5 years now. And I've known him for that long amount of time. But over this past year and a half, as I've really started to hone in on my craft in sports journalism and the world of the NBA, he always seemed genuinely curious about what I was doing and my career path. And he'd take the time to talk to me about it and give me advice and let me know how I was doing. He'd always lend a helping hand. He'd share my work. He'd always genuinely check up on me. And that was even as recent as the NBA Summer League. When we were covering the Cavs and all the other teams, I saw him doing a one-on-one with Colin Sexton backstage. And he saw me there and he was like, "Wow, it's awesome that you're here, you know?" And, you know, it's stuff like that. And the fact that he was willing to tell me that he was happy for where I'm going and that he genuinely had an interest in how I was doing with everything else that he had to take care of, all of the stuff that he had to do for his job and his career, for him to help me along, it just really speaks to the character and the kind of man that he really was. So here's to you, Fred McLeod. Rest in peace. I'm sending all of the condolences and my deepest sympathy to your family, Beth, your wife, your three kids. Rest in peace.
Hey, this is Chris Manning from Fear the Sword, Locked on Cavs, Cleveland Magazine, and Forbes. Fred McLeod, to me, will obviously, I think, be the voice of the Cavs for my generation. He basically, my whole life, had he been the play-by-play guy for the games, but I will remember being at games and covering games and just seeing how he seemed to know everybody, how he knew the security guards by name, how he'd say hi to them, how he treated everyone with such kindness, how he was so kind to the people in the media that he got to know and people that, you know, he could have easily ignored and easily could have not interacted with. But he leaves behind, I think, a legacy not just of being the voice of the Cavs for a generation, for his memorable calls of so many things, for his great catchphrases, but for just seemingly being a great human being who whose presence is really going to be missed in the Cavaliers community. And it's too soon for a guy who, it feels like just yesterday, was calling playoff games for this Cavs team, and I think would have been a great voice for this next generation of Cavs basketball.
Hey guys, Justin here. I don't know a Cleveland Cavaliers without Fred McLeod. The faces on the sideline have changed, the stars have come and gone, but he's always been the North Star of my own fandom. Not living in Ohio means that 3 to 4 times a week, I stop what I'm doing and listen to Fred and AC call games. His enthusiasm was infectious and embodied the type of fan I try to be. You could tell he cared just as much about the games where Jeremy Pargo was the star as when it was LeBron James. His love of the wine and gold captivated the audience and helped keep me around through those lean years. I only met him briefly once, but he was gracious, attentive, and made me feel like I was more important than the game he was preparing to call. As I've watched everybody that's come into contact with him collectively mourn today, it's clear that he approached everybody with that same attentiveness and made them feel like they mattered. While some broadcasters complain about the changes in the game, it's clear that Fred loves basketball in all of its many forms. While we won't hear his signature calls moving forward, his spirit will continue to live on in those that love this team. His memory honored by those that understand that regardless of the outcome, there are few joys greater than getting to watch the team you love play the game that you love. He will be missed.
This is Ken Carmen, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Fred McLeod will be remembered as a great broadcaster, but he'll also be remembered because he was such a great friend. He was a great friend to everybody around him. He was a great friend to the fans. Every single game, you could hear the passion through his voice. While so many guys are trying to push themselves, you could tell Fred loved the Cavs, and you could tell Fred loved the fan base. I'm going to miss his voice every single night, but I take solace in knowing that every single time I can go on the internet and I can watch that video of him and AC that his wife took at Game 7 of 2016, and to know that I see a man that's not happy for himself, not happy because the Cavaliers had won, but was happy that fans of the Cleveland Cavaliers for nearly 50 years at that time were getting to see something that they couldn't imagine. We were all going to be able to share in it together. Fred McLeod was a great man and a great friend, and that's why he'll be so dearly missed.
All right. Thanks to everybody that submitted a testimonial, a really touching tribute. And to continue our memorial for Fred McLeod is Carter and I's former boss at Fear the Sword, Conrad Gaz. Conrad, how's it going, man?
I've been better, but happy to be here with you guys to talk about the guy that we lost today.
Yeah, it is really Fred really became kind of like a kind of very much the identity of the Cavs for me, like from a experiential standpoint, and it really is going to be hard to not have him with us next season, and you know, obviously, like the biggest condolences we can send out to his family. Conrad, you wrote about him for in a really great post for Fear the Sword today. Kind of what was your experience with him as you got to be a little bit more up close and personal with him than Justin and I ever did?
Yeah, I mean, so the post that I wrote today was mostly about kind of exactly what you just said. Was he defined so much of the experience of watching the Cavs for me and for everybody that watched on Fox Sports Ohio or whatever the channel's been called for. Has it been called that the whole time? That's probably. So it's just his voice and his commentary was synonymous with Cavs basketball for us. It was the entirety of my Cavs watching lifetime was narrated by Fred McLeod. And so every now and then I'd listen to a game on the radio, and that's nice too. And every now and then we'd have a national TV game, but like it always came back to like that very comfortable place where you turn on the game when now that I'm on the West Coast, I'd turn it on at 4 o'clock and it's like a piece of home is there. Even if I'm not actually in Cleveland. So it was just the two things are just so tightly tied in my brain and my experience of Fred calling the Cavs, me watching the Cavs, one of my favorite hobbies, one of my favorite passions in life. And it was just kind of devastating this morning to find out that news and feel as though that tie had been broken.
I mean, when I saw the news, I was absolutely speechless. Like when I saw just kind of scrolling on Twitter, you know how it can be where you're not really reading anything, but you're just looking for anything that jumps out. I saw the picture of him and I just assumed that he was winning some sort of award or that there was some community initiative that he was involved in because he was just such a big part of the community beyond just the broadcast. And when I saw what the news was, it was just absolutely devastating. Like, I don't know what Cavs basketball is without Fred McLeod. Like I've gone through so many versions of this team, so many head coaches, players, stars. They've all come and gone, but Fred has always been just a staple of my fandom. And I think we all kind of have, like the three of us have a unique perspective on this, because it's not like we've really been around attending games all the time. We're all out of towners to varying degrees. And that's been kind of our window to the Cavs. Like, it's just always involved Fred. And I think when you see all the tributes today, it's just everyone's mentioning his enthusiasm, how much he cared about the team, no matter who was playing, how much he cared about the fans. Every time that there was an interaction with Fred, and I got to meet him once, and he was just so gracious and so attentive. And it's to lose a personality and just someone as great as him, it's really tough to take.
Yeah, I think that you guys are kind of talking about his, you know, how he is our little slice of home. And I've always been pretty fascinated by the relationship a fan base has with their local announcers. You know, it's like, it used to be this thing that was kind of our little secret pre-internet, you know, right. And that was for every fan base, right? And then I feel like, you know, when the streaming era started and League Pass started, you know, all these different announced teams started getting exposed to people who they didn't really exist for.
Right.
You know, when we talk about the best, you know, local teams, we always kind of tend to lean towards these guys who are, you know, the Iron Eagles, the Mike Breens of the world, these guys who, you know, kept their professional distance. And I actually, you know, it's funny. I want my local guy to be like Fred McLeod. I want to share in the experience with him, because you have these insanely long regular seasons that are often frustrating and kind of go through their ups and downs and their dog days, where you barely care as a diehard fan. And, you know, Fred and his, you know, his just infectious enthusiasm is kind of what keeps you interested at times in these years past. And I don't know, Justin, what do you kind of think about the way that, you know, his quote unquote homerism added to the broadcast?
Yeah, I just think he did it in such a good way. Like there was, joyfully. It wasn't irrational, like,
or angry.
I don't want to drag anybody, but like, let's say someone like Tommy Heinsohn, where it's my support of the team is just, it's hyperbole. It's dragging the other team down. It was never kind of in that spirit. It was just a genuine, he really cares about these players. It doesn't matter if it's LeBron James or if it's Samardo Samuels. Like, he's invested. He cares about those guys. And he loved the game itself. Like, you could tell he loved basketball. He was excited. Even if the other team did something impressive, it was, he just enjoyed being there and watching those games.
I think that's exactly right. I think he was never salty if another player was having a good night against right. the Cavs. It was just kind of in awe of the athleticism and the talent and the skill that player was displaying. I think the other thing that you said really stands out to me and really, I think, sums up a gives you a good idea of what Fred was like as a guy. And not that I knew him personally, but from everything that people say and the way that everybody who's met him and talked to him gushes about him, is that he just genuinely cared about the players as guys and as people. And it was not just what they could do on a basketball court. Like, he spent enough time around the team that he cared about players. And you got that from his broadcast. You got that he just genuinely cared about how they're doing as human beings. And I think that's pretty powerful. And that's a testament to what kind of a guy he was.
And that was a super important thing for me. Cause like, as someone that grew up, my early exposure with the team, it was so heavy with LeBron right off the bat. I just grew up watching LeBron in those young years with the team. And then when he left, I wasn't sure where my loyalty was going to go. I'm still a basketball fan. I didn't know if I was a Cavs fan or a LeBron fan, though. And I ended up becoming a bigger Cavs fan than I was even pre-decision. And then eventually writing for the Fear of the Sword and starting this podcast and basically how everything has snowballed from there after LeBron had left. And I think he played a role in that. Like, I think how much he made me care about just some really, really awful teams. It was infectious. Like, it's the spirit that I like to embody. Like, I want sports to be a positive thing. Like, at the end of the day, like, you have your long day, you have all your responsibilities in life. I just want 3-4 times a week, I want to watch my favorite team play. And Fred and AC just always, it was just always such a positive experience. Even no matter what the outcome was, you could tell that they were invested. They made you want to watch. And I think that's really special, because I think to other teams I care about and other broadcasts I watch, I think it's a truly unique experience that we had with those two. And talking about just kind of his unique role, and as you mentioned before, Carter, just kind of the quote-unquote homerism, I thought he played just the perfect straight man at times with AC. Oh, yeah. And I think their chemistry was really, really great, where he knew when to get him fired up, when to rein him in. And I mean, obviously your thoughts go out to his family, but my mind also goes to what AC is thinking. Like, that they just seem to have such a special friendship.
Well, yeah. You know, I was reading Terry Pluto's write up on cleveland.com about Fred, and kind of talked about how the goal was to, you know, make you feel like they were just hanging out on their couch watching the game and you just happened to be in the living room with them. And I always described that duo's chemistry as being very similar, just like my uncles on Christmas watching basketball, shooting the shit. Not always right, but who gives a shit? Yeah. You know, like, that's not the point, is to be right all the time and to be this perfect analytical being, but just to make me have fun watching basketball. And I think that's really one of their best legacies, is kind of as a team creating that. And, you know, one thing I did want to talk about that I feel like is going to get overlooked, because people will rightfully talk about all the, you know, all the warm fuzzies of, you know, kind of our memories with Fred. This dude is really talented. Like, a genuinely very good play-by-play guy. Sold moments in ways that a lot of national guys, you won't see them do. And really sold the energy of the arena in a way that I'm really going to miss. Because, you know, I mean, we talked about it already, but, and, you know, all our testimonials, every other one is mentioning the bottom, you know. And I think all three of us are pretty diehard NBA fans. We've heard just about every catchphrase in the book, but they always felt fun. They always felt fresh. They always felt kind of lived in with him. It wasn't a bit just to further himself. It was all born of his own excitement and his ability to communicate that. So I don't know, Conrad. I just think that's going to go under the radar, is that this was a really talented play-by-play guy.
For sure. I think that's, again, I think you're right. I think I have definitely listened to every play-by-play announcer in the NBA for sure at this point. And I think he was, his balance of being a homer, but also being like the straight man against the, AC's kind of goofiness sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then just really dialing up the energy when it deserved to be dialed up. And so that makes highlights really fun to go back to, because he's going nuts in a moment that you remember was so exciting to be watching yourself. And it just makes everything feel more impactful. It made the moments feel bigger, even when it put us like a little bit closer to what, the 13th spot in the Eastern Conference. there's a buzzer beater that Deion Waiters hit in Detroit. I'm sure that game didn't matter. But he's going absolutely nuts. And I'm sure I was too, when I was watching that wherever I was on whatever tiny screen on League Pass outside of Cleveland. But it was, it just made the experience match how I felt as a fan watching. And I think that was really special. It was not over the top or over the, it was just kind of in that perfect, the perfect sweet spot of energy and homerism and really skilled play-by-play.
It also felt like an initiation, because sometimes, like, especially in today's NBA, players change teams all the time. You get used to guys in different jerseys, but when someone puts on a Cavs jersey, that's one thing. But when you get the right down Euclid call or the bottom, like, I'm going to be disappointed that Darius Garland isn't going to get a call the bottom at any point. I'd like to hear Burn and Akron Rubber. Like, all of those stick out, and sometimes you at least for me, I remember the call more than before I remember the play. Like,
Rubber stamped those moments. He, like, mm-hmm. It was like the, okay, no, this mattered. This and whether it ended up mattering or not, it's kind of not the point. Like, that's not what it is to be a fan of a team, especially a team like the Cavaliers, where everything feels important and everything's, you know, going crazy, but when Dion Waiters does hit that corner three or Alec Burks gets the dunk last year to win the game, it just cements those moments in your brain in a way that, you know, maybe a lesser play-by-play guy doesn't do.
No, I completely agree. And I mean, there's so many moments to look back on that. I was really happy. I mean, it hurt, but I was really happy to see the video that his wife had taken when the Cavs won game 7 there, and it was just him and AC calling the game for the folks back at the watch party at the Q. And like, when his voice would crack and he was joining in on the celebration, like, not just in those games, but when LeBron hit the game winner against the Bulls and all these big moments, like, you could tell, like, he was happy for the team, he's happy for the city. You could tell the weight of everything that came with Cleveland sports, which it's a lot. There's a lot of baggage there. We're all damaged people, but you could feel that weight in his call and just the jubilation, him and AC just breaking down. I mean, it made me really damn happy that he lived to see that.
I remember that night. There was definitely this groundswell amidst the celebration on Cavs Twitter of like, oh, but we still need the Fred and AC call. Like, yeah, Cleveland is the city of champions. Once again, cool, cool, cool. That's awesome. But like, oh, we really got to hear Fred and AC.
Could you imagine? I don't think it'd feel right if we never got that. Like, if we never got their call.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's I think the other thing that made it such a special experience was, you know, because we have talked about the championship call, we've talked about buzzer beaters, but like, I think the thing with him is that kind of you need, especially on a team that's been had the lows that this Cavs team has had over the course of his tenure, is, you know, he never was too good for the team. We've talked about this a lot, is, you know, all these teams in the lean times will go through that 10-game malaise where they're checked out, they're not feeling it. That was never really a problem with the broadcast booth. They were ready to rise to the occasion at any given time. And I think about Mort posted the video of them breaking the 26-game losing streak the year after LeBron left, and Fred was losing his fucking
one of my all-time favorite clips.
That's one of my all-time favorite games. But man, like, that was just such a damn moment. I mean, Baron Davis, Cavs legend. Man, like, I think once kind of the initial shock wears off, I think we're going to remember moments like that. And as I mentioned earlier, like, that's the type of spirit that I try to embody. Like, I like keeping that optimism. Every game's a new start. Yes, there's a bigger picture, but it's watching basketball, man. Like, and I think that was the spirit he always had. He was, even if it's only going to be their 15th win of the year. And that's where this team tops out at. It was, I still care about these players because they're the ones that are representing the city. They're the ones representing the team right now. And I just want to see them do well while they're here. And that's just something that I think is, I'm always going to take with me. And I think it's something that I want to make sure that I never really forget, because I think in the end, that's kind of going to be the way that his spirit's going to continue to live on with this team. Hey guys, we're going to get back to talking about Fred in just a second, but first we need to go over our sponsors. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you could always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to activate the offer. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Justin, every guy looks better and feels more confident when he puts on a suit. There's just one problem. Guys keep buying generic off-the-rack suits. That's why Blue Wire is pumped to partner with Indochino for an amazing deal on a new suit. Indochino is the world's leading made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Looking to get married? They have tons of options for those looking to outfit their wedding party. It's so easy to get started. Visit a stylist at one of Indochino's 40 showrooms in North America and have them take your measurements personally, or just measure yourself at home and shop online at Indochino.com. This week, Chase Down listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Blue Wire, for any premium suit for just $369 and free shipping. This is an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back. All right, back to Conrad and more Fred McLeod memories. I have a really important question for you guys. What was your favorite catchphrase? Because I definitely have my favorite, and I think it's going to be an upset. But I'd like to hear from you guys first.
I want you to go first because you've already thought about this, and I don't like the pressure you've put on me here.
Well, that's
unlike Fred McLeod. I'm often left speechless. He seemed to always have something to say. Yeah, that's fair. At the right moment.
I'll bail your ass out. you know what I fucking love is throw up a medicine ball.
that's a pretty good one.
Would like just brick one off the bottom of the rim. Like, I just got such a kick out of threw up a medicine ball. It's such a great analogy. I never hear anyone else make that joke. And it seems like something that should just be like in the parlance of like every broadcaster. Like, I think it should be like the mouse in the house kind of thing, like where like every single play-by-play guy kind of has that in his back pocket. But I only ever really heard Fred say it. I just got such a kick out of that one. I'm going to miss that.
So I got one that, one catchphrase or whatever, and then one kind of just tendency that he had. I loved when he said bruising ankles and egos. That was a big one. A big fan of that one. It's like a real nasty crossover. Usually it's Kyrie, right? Just like that crossover was so nasty. You not only broke his ankles, like you hurt his feelings. Like that's going to leave a mark like emotionally. So I always liked that. And then I just loved how, again, Kyrie comes to mind probably more than any other player, even more than LeBron, I guess, because it's
really that was right Kyrie at the age for pretty much all three of us.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like Kyrie ridiculous, or even just I was watching a play, one of the games against Oklahoma City, like in 2013 or something like that. Kyrie really kind of first starting to come onto the national stage as like, oh, this guy's legit.
I remember he outdueled Russ.
Yeah, like, and like really KD clearly. Was in the, played that game. It was like full strength Oklahoma City and like Kyrie and a bunch of scrubs, and Andy and Tristan, whatever disclaimers. but it just like him being in such in awe of the talent of a guy like Kyrie Irving was, it, I think it just matches how I watch sports. Like, go take it to football. Like, forget off the field stuff. Like, I was always just in awe of Michael Vick on the football field because it was like, this guy's so talented. I can't believe a human being can do these things. And I feel like that's Fred tapped into that a lot of just like, cut it out, Kyrie Irving. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Like,
which leads into my favorite call. I love video game because he never buzzed. Like, that was always saved for very special occasions. Like, he didn't overuse catchphrases. Like, the play had to really deserve it. But when obviously Kyrie comes to mind, or when Kevin Love went off against Portland, like, just whenever he was truly in disbelief, where what we were watching was something special, it didn't feel real, he kind of added to that element there with that call. I really enjoy that one.
Yeah, he was just great, man. I know that we're, you know, repeating ourselves over and over again, but like, you know, it was really a thing that I was trying to explain. I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, yeah, man, you know, part of me feels a little silly for being so affected and having and being so bummed. But then I was just thinking, like, this guy has been in my living room for, you know, or, you know, even during the good years, 60, 70 nights a year, for the past 16 years. Like, he's been such a consistent part of it, and always kind of always setting the tone, like kind of what Justin was saying. And, you know, it is kind of hard to fathom, the Cavs without him.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a different experience. Something, I don't know if you guys have done this or not, but something I would love if anyone like listening has like clips or like highlights or moments that like stand out that we should go and like back and watch and listen to. Just because, like you mentioned, the Kevin Love going off for 34 in the first quarter. Like, I forgot about that this morning. I need to go back and watch that. I'm sure that call is
Someone called out the Anderson Varejao game-winning three.
I already I watched that one. I got that one.
And I was like, I had completely forgotten about that moment.
Yeah, that was one that I don't want to call it repressed, but I had completely forgotten about it. but yeah, absolutely. If any of our listeners out there have stories to share, I think it'd be nice, either tweet at the Chase Down account, tweet at any of us, and I'm sure we'll share it, because I think the best way to kind of celebrate his life is just to fully appreciate everything that he did, just the sense of community that he built, and how we can all just kind of sit back and talk and just BS like we are right now, just sharing memories that were enhanced or created by what he had done throughout his career here.
Yeah.
And I bet as the, in the coming days and whatnot, you'll see kind of more and more of the players talking about just kind of what a good guy he was, and like how, if they felt that he genuinely cared about them as people. I'm sure that you will see that in the coming days.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, while this is tough, I do look forward to just seeing and reading more and more tributes. I can't get enough of it, because, as we've all mentioned, he's been such an important part of like the last decade and a half for us. You don't really realize just what an impact someone has until, unfortunately, something like this happens. But I have nothing but great things to say, and just all the stories and testimonials we've heard. It's just story after story after story about just how great he was, how engaging he was, how much he cared. And I think, as I said before, the best tribute we can have to that is just kind of continuing to embody that spirit and keep it going. But Conrad, thank you so much for coming on and talking this through with us. You talked about this in the Fear the Sword post, but part of why I got into this and part of why you got into this was we just didn't have anyone to talk about with this. Like, we didn't have anyone to talk Cavs about. Like, there's not a lot of people in Winnipeg that give a shit about this team. I mean, Fred was kind of our little window into the Cavs. And to be able to come on with you guys and just talk about this, it's been therapeutic. I've really appreciated you coming on.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. And a big thanks to our listeners as well. You know the deal. If you want to support the podcast, subscribe, rate, review. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, send a screenshot of your review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. Also, just send us stories, man. Just send us your memories. Send us your favorite highlights, whatever it is. We would really appreciate that. So thanks to Conrad. Thanks to Carter. Thank you to our listeners. Until next time, go Cavs.